Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. I am your host, Adam, and again, I am joined as always. Man, it feels good to be back with you talking hockey, Mr. Boucher.
The feeling is mutual. However, it is so freaking cold.
It's not even cold compared to where I just came from.
Not just in this room, but outside. And considering I work outdoors, I don't know how I'm going to survive the entire winter.
Long underwear. Those little pocket warmers. You got those? Those little.
I should probably start by wearing underwear before we start talking about long underwear.
Yeah, that's probably a good start, man. It's been a cold week up in Alberta. Got right off the plane, picked up by Jeremy. He's like, we got to go talk hockey. And yeah, this room's a little cold. I flipped on the heater as quick as I could. So
it's hopefully not working.
No, it's working just very, very slowly. So hopefully we can get through this because we've got a full show. Four games to recap, three coming up, a pretty big tournament here. So let's get right to it. No news and notes this week. So the quick question, it's a big weekend here in Moncton, not only because the Wildcats are in town, but you've also got the Monctonian AAA tournament that the Kensington Wild are here to defend their championship from last year in the Midget AAA division. So Jeremy, you're the guy that's got all the knowledge on the prospects and whatnot. So what are some names and teams fans should be paying attention to?
If you're going to go check it out, obviously I don't have as much information on, teams from outside of the Maritimes and, like the Notre Dame Hounds, York Simcoe Express, the Quebec Prep teams. I don't know much about them. But of course, when you hear York Simcoe Express, it is one of the more recognizable, hockey programs in Ontario minor hockey. So I'd expect them to be, pretty competitive. Notre Dame is, a pretty prestigious, school in Saskatchewan. I think it's the if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the Argos that are coming to the tournament, but the Hounds are more the more dominant team.
Noticeable.
Yeah. I think it's the Argos. I'm not exactly sure. And then there's, the Quebec Prep teams. If it was the Quebec Midget AAA teams coming to this tournament, they would just, skate circles around everybody and just go to absolute town. So they bring in some prep teams instead. So this is like a kind of like Quebec High School All right. Hockey. Yeah. So that just tells you, if Quebec High School teams can compete with a Midget AAA team, tournament Moncton, it just tells you, just how strong the hockey is in that province.
Right.
If you want to look at a favorite, you don't have to look very far. The Moncton Flyers are, they're off to a 15-1 start in the New Brunswick PEI Midget AAA Hockey League. Somehow every year they just dominate this league. They're led by John DeCorchi, their head coach, and unless he has a fantastic job in life, I don't understand how he's not coaching in the queue somewhere, because he gets the best out of these young players every single year. Doesn't matter how old their team is. I think they have 4 15-year-olds on defense this year. Wow. So four first-year midget players, and then they've got Wildcats draft pick Jonathan DeRosier and Mooseheads draft pick Keegan Hunt. So that's their decor right there. It's 4 15-year-olds and 2 16-year-olds.
Huh.
So and somehow they managed to to have a 15-1 record. Their top line is doing most of the damage. I'm trying to think. Dominic LeBlanc, another Cats pick. Brock Forsyth, who was a Wildcats training camp invitee. And
Nicholas Sheehan in goal.
Nick Sheehan in goal. I can't think of the other forward on the top unit, so I apologize there. But, I would easily put them in the conversation to be a favorite. Other teams you'd want to look out for, probably the Halifax Macs are always super competitive. Cole Harbour, Dartmouth. Those any team from the HRM and Halifax will come here with wanting to win the tournament. Kensington has a they're younger this year, mm-hmm. So they're I don't see them repeating. I think this is really the it's going to come down to my guess would be the Flyers and the Halifax Max, but again that's my prediction without seeing some of the teams. There's the prospects game that goes Friday night at 8 p.m. at the Fourplex. I know there's a Wildcats game that night. I'll probably I might just skip that game and go check out that prospects game. I've never watched it since or never had the chance to go watch it since they've implemented it with the Monctonian. If you do decide to go check it out, some names that you'd probably want to watch for. I love talking prospects. It's like my thing. Starting with, this is in no particular order, but you got Leighton Carruthers of the Halifax Max, Donovan Arsenault of the Kensington Wild. If you look at a picture of him, it's a striking resemblance to former Wildcats defenseman Jacob Arsenault. So there's got to be some sort of relation there. Could be a brother. Luke Woodworth of South Shore. So South Shore isn't known to produce, a lot of players that go on to play in the queue. So when you get a player like him who's, making some noise, it's definitely a player you want to keep an eye on. Probably one of my favorite names in the tournament, Travis Badcock from the East Coast Blizzard out in Newfoundland. Big, mean defenseman, making a lot of noise. I think he was hurt. He played as an underager in the Canada Games last year, if I'm not mistaken, and did his job. And then two defensemen from the aforementioned Moncton Flyers, Jet McCollum and Mateo Mann. And then the first goaltender on the list, Riley Mercer of Tri-Pen. Yes, if that last name sounds familiar. Yes, he is Dawson Mercer's brother.
Oh, okay.
So Riley Mercer for Tri-Pen, probably one of the top goaltending prospects in Atlantic Canada this year. So he's a name to keep an eye on. And then rounding out my top 10, I got Dylan Andrews of Cole Harbour and Sam Savoie from the Moncton Flyers. Probably one of my favorite players to... this year that I've had a chance to watch. He's very, very feisty, or small, feisty, works hard. And, he's someone I'm going to be keeping an eye on for, the majority of the tournament. So there we go. That's the, Monctonian preview. We'll check back next week to see if my prediction was correct, but,
So question inside the quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
And we kind of talked about this a little bit. You've got Nick Sheehan and then you've got, Cole Harbour coming here with Gio.
Mm-hmm.
Is this kind of an audition to see who's going to be called up to play if Rodrigue makes it to Team Canada? Like, this is kind of a big audition for these kids because, Havanov was just named to Team Russia, right? So he's gone. Pelche could be gone. They could call up Dominic LeBlanc. I don't understand. I said a preseason. I don't know why he didn't make the roster other than, he's pretty young, but he's been doing good things for the Flyers. So do you think it's kind of an audition on which goalie will be called up, depending on how the tournament goes? Not so much wins and losses, but how they play.
It's a good question. I'm not exactly sure if they would, if they would call up a 16-year-old goaltender. If you look at their depth chart, you still have. I'm not sure if he was signed or not, but Eric McGinnis. Who was at training camp. He mm-hmm. may have been outright released. I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
Then you've got, Zach Paradis, but...
They seem to really like Gio.
Yeah.
He was here for a long... He got a good extended look.
He did, and I have no problem bringing up a 16-year-old for a few weeks. It's only going to be, 4 or 5 games?
Something like that, yeah.
So I don't mind it. You could bring up him for the games before Christmas, bring up somebody else after Christmas. It's the options are there, or they could go and sign someone that's, a little older who doesn't mind sitting on the bench for, a few games just for the experience. So It all depends on what sort of room they have on their affiliate player list. And we'll see. I'm not going to make the call, as I'd probably make the wrong call. And, you know, considering the past few weeks, my credibility is taking a hit. So I don't want to make any calls here.
We're not good at this prediction thing, but it's interesting with both goaltenders that got an extended look in the preseason. We'll be in that tournament, and I'd like to see Dominic LeBlanc get called up as well. I mean,
another question where, you know, it's a 16-year-old. I'm sure he'll get a... I think there's other players that they would call up first,
right?
Just based on the age factor. So, we'll see what happens. It's you got Josh Crooks that's playing in Campbellton. There's other options out there before you'd call up a 16-year-old. So, Al Shorn as well. Like, there's other names out there that you could bring up instead of a 16-year-old. So. We'll see what happens. It's still a month away. Things could happen, and we'll just take it from there, I guess.
Yeah. So get down to that tournament for sure. I went for the first time last year. It's a pretty big tournament. A lot of good hockey. So there'll be a ton of good hockey this weekend here.
Yeah. Very, very competitive. It's one of my favorite tournaments of the year. Just because you get all the top teams from Atlantic Canada. Then if you got the Ice Jam as well in January, that's in Halifax. I don't go down to that. So this is really kind of my where I start to focus on who's out there for draft picks next year, and I'll have my expert scouting reports available next week if anybody wants to know.
Everybody wants to know. That's your jam. They all want to know. So. Yeah, it's been four games since we talked to you guys, so we're going to kind of recap all four. We won't spend too much time on them. The Wildcats went 3-1 during that home-and-home with the Eagles and the Titan, bringing the record to 15-4 for 30 points, still atop the Eastern Conference. So if we go back, I guess, 2 weeks now, the Eagles home-and-home, the Wildcats went into Cape Breton and got that 10-4 victory that I absolutely nobody saw coming. Eight different scores. So if you're going to blow out a team, you'd rather see, you know, they're never fun to watch, but at least when you see eight different scores, you know, everyone's kind of involved, right?
Yeah, for sure. I still can't get over that game. It was, I was out trick-or-treating and, you know, I'm getting updates and like you and Chris were telling me, it was like, what, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, 7-1.
Yeah.
You
came home and said, that was fun. And I said, the period or the trick-or-treating?
Yeah. It was different. You don't see those, considering how good Cape Breton's supposed to be this year. Me, the one who said they'd win the division,
mm-hmm.
Huge shock. But and, you know, you say people say that it's a tough rink to play in, but Moncton's had a pretty good amount of luck in there recently, so they might have finally changed their fortunes around. Which is, you know, always good because, you know, down the road, these, especially after Christmas and going to the playoffs, these games against Cape Breton are just going to get to be more competitive. And I don't think you're going to see any more 10-4 games or anything like that.
No.
Against the Eagles. So, take it when you can get it. I think last October, they went in and to Cape Breton and won a 10-3 game or something like that.
Yeah,
it was so, you know.
And that was a big game for Cape Breton too, because they lost Mandelize on mm-hmm. what seemed to be an innocent play that didn't.
Yeah, it's a broken angle.
It seemed to be a whole lot. So
that's a big loss, and William Grimard seems to be. He got the start. A couple nights later in Moncton, and just a different goalie.
Yeah.
So that's that was good on him. You know that. I guess we'll roll right into that one.
There it is, the professional transition.
Professional transportation. transportation. Roll right into it. November 2nd, Cape Breton came to town. Pat McNeil donated his $100.
Yes, good on him. Thank you, Pat.
So that was interesting. And, it was, for me, it was entertaining.
It was what you expected. It was like the first matchup here that was 2-1, I believe, as well.
Not a very big fan of low-scoring games, but this one had a lot of little oomph to it, you know.
Yep.
It was, yeah, it kind of got you out of your seat a little bit, and it was tight. It was what you expect from a game between, you know, two of the top teams in the Maritimes division. And then we shouldn't really debate about it, because it came into our favor. It all ended up rosy, but yeah, definitely a questionable icing call, which led to the Cape Breton tying the game. Pretty evident, in my opinion, that Pelche won that race to the puck, and if it wasn't, you don't want to put too much blame on the linesman there or the referee, but kind of did cost Rodriguez shutout, which is unfortunate. I think he's still looking for his first as a Wildcat.
He's come to within 4 seconds of one, so
he's getting close. So,
but it was like, that's the one thing you hate about those hybrid icings, is it's up to the linesman, and if he's not quite in the right angle, like I'm sitting in 108 right across from the line. To me, it sure looked like Pelche had him beat, mm-hmm. It cost Rodriguez shutout, but you hate to blame the refs, especially 2.5 weeks later. We got the win, it definitely was a questionable call. And, you know, like a lot of people say, well, then don't put it in the hands of the official, right? Like, stop, you know, win the draw, win that next draw, and we're not talking about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's
right?
It, too. It was, I'm not sure who it was that took the draw, but even that shot was just
kind of a seeing eye shot, wasn't it?
Three or four guys in front of Rodriguez there. So it was a tough one to stop, but it was, you know, we got it to overtime, you know, got the winner from who else but Havana.
The guy that put on a show for the past 10 days or so.
Yeah.
And then everybody in the queue kind of took a break. I don't know if you want to touch on it quickly, just your thoughts on the CIBC team QMJHL versus Russia. It was the Havanov show. You know, I asked you before if he, did he need to have a good two-game series to crack the roster? He had a hell of a two-game series. That whole QMJHL line for Team Russia kind of took things over. Not so much in Moncton, but in Charlottetown they did. I think they were in on every goal but one in the whole series, I believe.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And so he took... what, 4 points in the first game, and I think he had 2 assists in the second one. And he's going to the World Juniors as part of Team Russia. So
yeah, he's already got the call. So that's
congratulations to him.
Mm-hmm, he was Russia's last cut last year, and finally got finally gonna get a chance to represent his country in the Czech Republic. Which anytime you can get a Wildcat playing in the World Juniors, it's good. But yeah, he was dominant. He was him and that first game in St. John, Pelche was one of the best players on the ice for the Q.
Yeah.
And Havanov was, in those two games, was, by far the best Russian player. So
him and Zavgorodny had a nice connection.
Yep. Flames pick. Let's go. it was a great atmosphere at the Avenir Center. It's a lot of, clearly a lot of, people in attendance who probably didn't pay full price for their tickets. But you know what? I think that's, you get a lot of people who, they don't go to Wildcats games very often, but they wanted to check out, some high end hockey. So they checked this one out, and just, I think it brought a different level of fan to the game, because the place was going crazy. Like it was a very good atmosphere. I don't know if people were just trying to get on Sportsnet or something, but,
it's a different, being on TV, like, it was a different game completely.
Yeah, it was
like
a different vibe in the building. Yeah. The intensity was up there. Of course, that was a game where, a couple of days before the game, I had, broke my shoulder. Not really broke it, but pulled a muscle or whatever it was. So I couldn't even, lift up my arm above my hip. So anytime somebody scored, I'd be like, yeah, with one arm. And then sometimes you'd forget that you broke your arm or hurt your arm, and you'd lift it up and you'd probably, that wasn't fun. But I really enjoyed that game. I hate outdoor games. I'm not a big fan of the Canada-Russia series.
You just don't like fun, eh?
I don't like fun.
Like, you just want the regular season, the playoffs, and that's it.
basically.
None of this pageantry crap.
I just think there's another way they could do it. I mean, take like the Maritime Division All-Star team, put them up against the West Division in the Q, and then the East against the Central, whatever it is. Just make it like an All-Star game, like a league All-Star game. And then I just don't understand the point of bringing Russian players over for, you know, six games, and whoever picks up the tab, I wouldn't mind
seeing other countries, like a Russian 1 year and then maybe Sweden the next year. Or I mean, I get it because there's a lot more Russians in the CHL than Swedes and Finns, but, you know, changing it up wouldn't be the worst.
Bad idea. USHL,
like the States teams that...
We'd walk all over them.
No, I know, but just to be different, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I don't know, switch it up. Like, do like a QMJHL against WHL, which kind of like leads into, you know, Memorial Cup talk and stuff. I don't know. It's just the whole Canada-Russia thing is...
It's the easiest way for them to pick Team Canada, though.
Yeah.
And that's primarily why they do it. I'm with you. But I'd kind of rather see an all QMJHL All-Star game.
Because when you look at it, you put... like a QMJHL All-Star team against a WHL All-Star team. I mean, there's a better opportunity for Hockey Canada to get a look at the players, because literally it's just, well, half these players aren't even going to be representing our country.
Yeah.
So you get more of the talent on the ice, more of the people or players who could represent your country. Instead of just one team, this way you're focused on two teams instead of one, and you see who stands out more. Just, you're right. I don't like fun outdoor games, Canada Russia games. Just not my thing.
Speaking of not liking fun, it must not have been fun to cheer for Lavoie. What a world we live in that people were cheering for him in the Avenir Center. He's doing the Eagle Celly. That Dawson Mercer's pretty good though. Him and Pelche had a nice little connection there.
Yeah, the whole Lavoie thing was I didn't mind it. I think it was fun. It just builds up the rivalry more.
That's exactly what that Eagle Celly did.
When Drummondville was in Halifax last weekend, one of the Drummondville players did an Eagle Celly right in front of the Mooseheads bench. Like it's getting fun, and that's the fun that I like. I like the rivalry. And it's, I don't know, when the next 23rd, I think, is when we play in Halifax. So
yep.
That one I know that off the top. I wasn't even looking at the schedule. I know that one.
Nice.
So that's going to be another interesting game, because, you know, it's just going to be another, you know, Halifax-Moncton game, Havana off against Lavoie, whatever you want to, any other way you want to put it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bringing the fun back in junior hockey.
So then after that whole hubbub, then the Wildcats traveled to Bathurst while I was in Alberta for a game on Friday night, and I didn't see a lot of it. So, Jeremy, do you want to recap that one?
I'm not even going to touch it. just going to say this. There have been some bad games by the Wildcats over, you know, in the past few years, including... It's funny I mention this every show. The second half of the 2016-2017 season.
You do mention that a lot.
Every week. that second half of that year was... there was some bad hockey. But that game in Bathurst was the worst game I've seen this team play in years. And what I didn't like about it is I didn't realize they were in trouble until about 5 minutes left in the game. And that's when they started playing. And that's what annoyed me about it. Is
kind of like they tried to flick off switch. And
yeah, they were on the pucks. They were winning the battles. They were making mistakes, but it wasn't costing them. Like, they were pinching in the blue line, but it wasn't going the other way on a 2-on-1. They were just lifting sticks. They were being physical. All in the last 5 minutes of the game, and I think that's what annoyed me the most. And I love Coach Torchetti, but he's got to learn how to use his timeouts. I think he's only used one, and that was when that game against Halifax, when they had the 5-on-3 late in the game, mm-hmm. he used a timeout. He should have used a timeout in that game. At least, I mean, I don't know when he would have used it, but they needed it. They needed a kick in the butt, and they just didn't get it. And then, you know, when it's too late, they decided to start pouring it on and you know, try to win the game. Wasn't a big fan of that. Another thing, we're going to move on to the, I'm not going to say it. So we're just going to move on the next game, and for the sake of the show, not going to say it.
All right, that's fair. So we'll go to the next one. You know, then they got it figured out. Took a little bit, though. They got down again to Bathurst 2-0 or just 1-0? Just 1-0.
It was 1. Yeah, it was a back and forth game. It was like 1-1. It was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1,
2-2,
3-2,
4-2.
Yep.
So that one was a little bit better at home, because I didn't watch that one either, being back in Alberta. But, you know, 57 shots.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even look at the stats at that game.
They lit it up, and Bathurst goalie played extremely well. Like,
was that Berube?
No, that was Ethier.
Was it?
Yeah, he played extremely well.
Yeah.
He could have easily stolen that game. He put on a show. I think he got second star or something like that. And he deserved it. Like
third
it was
star.
Third star, yeah. So he put on by far Bathurst's best player. There was no one that was on the ice that wanted to, you know, get that, you know, two wins in a row against Moncton more than he did. He's starting to be like one of those guys where, you know, I think he's, how old is he? Is he 7? I can't remember.
Ethier?
Yeah. Is he 16? He's not 7. He's not 16. 17. No,
17, I believe.
17. I think he wasn't even like, I think he might have played
18 and 01 birthday.
Right. Okay. Yeah, he almost stole that game for them.
Yeah, I would say.
I got a little bit concerned when, you know, Bathurst scored that first goal. Moncton went up like 10-0 in shots, and then Bathurst scored on their first shot on goal.
Oh boy!
And I was like, oh god, this is not going to happen. Like, it's just going to be one of those, you know, goalie's a wall, you're going to lose 2-0 kind of games.
Yeah.
But you know, they got that kick in the butt that they needed, and you know, they brought it in the you know, late in the second, early third, and just kind of took control of the game, and that was it. Like they started moving the puck, right? They weren't mm-hmm. trying to be too cute. They're making the smart plays, and that's how you win hockey games, is playing smart.
I feel like Bathurst is going to be that team that, if this Wildcats team goes where we want them to go, they're going to be that team that's going to be the thorn in their side, and they're going to play them hard every, like, usually when you're a top end team, you beat the lower end teams no problem, and I feel like sometimes there's always that lower end team that gives you the trouble, and I think that's going to be Bathurst. They've an OT loss, a shootout loss, they beat us, and now we beat them. Like, it's, they're just a thorn in our side. It's like Moncton takes them, not for granted, takes them too easily.
I think that's what it is. Like, they don't take this team seriously. You know, the first thing they should be doing is not paying attention to the standings.
No.
Because this is junior hockey, man. Like, any team can beat any team on any given night. And that's the great thing about this sport. Now, I've seen Bathurst enough to know what they can bring.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say this. One of my hot takes here that will come true, but I'll take the heat if it doesn't, but I'll look good if it does. Bathurst will make the playoffs.
Hmm.
They've got their first win. The next night they went into Halifax, and I think they were down 3-1, tied it up late, got it to overtime, got a point. Came here the next night, the next day, put in a pretty strong effort, and had me concerned for, you know, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I think all they needed was to get that first win out of the way, and I think they're not going to go on a run here, right? I'm not going to go and say they're going to win the next 5 games.
No.
But it'll be kind of like St. John where they're hanging in to the very end last year.
They got 8 points. Yeah, they're 9 points behind St. John right now. But I think, this is why it's a hot take here, right? I just, something tells me that they're gonna make the playoffs. It might not be in early March there. If they clinch a spot, it'll be on the last weekend of the season.
Right.
So,
they have a pretty favorable schedule. I mean, they've got Gatineau, which we'll get into a little bit, but it looked like a winnable game, but Gatineau's on a bit of a roll, but that still could be one. They've got back-to-back against St. John at the end of the month. You win those. They got Val-d'Or, Baie-Comeau. Like, they've got some good.
That's,
and then they've got St. John 4 times before the end of the year. So, you're not.
That's where I'm coming with it. Like, it's they've got an opportunity here to make a little move.
Added Engelhardt or Remy Engelhardt.
Remy Engelhardt. That's a huge pickup.
Yeah.
I thought there was an opportunity there for them to grab a free agent out of the Ontario Hockey League, but they didn't. He Shewinigan got to him. Bathurst would
have. Who was that?
That was Kirill.
Oh, that guy.
Nizhnikov. Yeah. Bathurst would have got the first shot based on the standings. They passed on him for some odd reason. I think they had an opportunity there to pick up a skilled player for free. They didn't do it. So it was a little, disappointing when they didn't. I think there's all they needed was that first win.
Mm-hmm.
And they just to get their confidence up a little bit. I think they'll make the playoffs. I can't say who's going to miss now. Like you said, Gatineau's on a bit of a roll right now, but I think their age, their inexperience will come into play late in the season. And I think Baie-Comeau is going to start dropping as well once we hit to the trade period.
Right.
So I think those are two teams that, could be the ones on the outside looking in if Bathurst makes a move.
You got to hit at some point, right? If you just keep throwing out predictions and hot takes, you got to hit on one. So why not this one?
As much as
it sucks that it was us, I'm just glad their streak is over
because
they don't have to worry about the added pressure of when are we going to win a home game. They can just play hockey. I'm assuming you saw it the next night. Here they kind of, getting outshot 57-19 isn't the best way to show it. But the goalie was standing on his head. Did Havanov get kicked out?
He did.
Oh, okay. I'm just reading if both players should remove their helmets. Was he going to get in another scrap? Is that what it was?
I don't understand what it was.
If both players should remove their helmet and or undo their chin strap prior to starting an altercation, and an altercation does not ensue. So it's like they were, but there's no other player for that. So it's like he got mad, ripped off his helmet, and wanted to fight somebody, but didn't.
So he
got kicked out.
I don't know what's happened there. I think he's starting to have a bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cocky?
No.
No?
Referees are starting to kind of make easy calls against him.
Oh, getting a reputation?
Reputation, that's the word. Yeah. So, I think it just comes with the flair he brings for the game. As long as he's shown that he's more level-headed. He did get a little, once that got late in that game in Bathurst, he started to go off the rails a little bit, and it happened again Saturday against Bathurst on Sunday. So I think when the team has a lead, he's good. When they're not playing great, he's kind of a little,
kind of like he's trying to get them energized into it.
I wouldn't call it energized. He's just, I don't know. I don't know how to put it. Again, I don't want to say anything that's,
for sure,
gets the show in hot water here, but it just has a tendency to kind of go off when things aren't going great for him.
Right.
So that's the only thing.
But he should be back. There's no suspension for that kind of stuff.
There was no suspension. It would have already been announced. So yeah, there's nothing to worry about there.
Perfect. So let's look ahead to the next three games. two very tough divisional games in a home and home with the Islanders, but they stuck the, I guess now surging Gatineau Olympique, who are 5-0-1 in the past six. I think the only loss they had was a shootout loss to Quebec, and that includes two wins over Rimouski. But getting to Charlottetown, we got the game. It is ladies' night again.
Ladies.
Again.
The big Balvoski.
And then Sunday in Charlottetown, we've only played them twice. That was the OT win to start the season and then that 5-3 loss. So we haven't had, we're a different team. I was just looking at Aiden's tweet here from earlier. They're going to be a different team. I mean, Lucas Cormier's out still with, remains out for 4 weeks. Alexandrov, injuries yet to be given a timeline, and Thomas Casey's day to day. So that's a big hit to the Islanders, but it's that old cliche that you guys say all the time, and I'm starting to figure it out. It's a Jim Holton team. Few injuries aren't going to matter.
Matty Walsh,
yeah.
Wall.
I got it. No, okay. I got what you're saying.
Not
so
Walsh.
Walsh. It'll probably be another goaltending battle like it generally is between the two. And
I'm assuming so.
Yeah.
Or we could go in there and put up 10 like we did in Cape Breton and nobody expected it.
Yeah.
So that's the fun part about these maritime rivalries is you never know.
Or Gooby will step in and have a 57-shot effort and let in one, right?
Yeah.
Because he got one of the wins out of the two.
He did, yeah. I think we'll see Matty Walsh and... what are we at? Three games in 4 days? Is that what it is? We're off Saturday?
Yep, off Saturday, 3-4.
Okay. Well, no predictions. 5 points.
In the six?
Yeah. That's being generous, I think. So I like it. You know, third, another thing we didn't bring up is the totally useless CHL top 10.
I was trying not to because you call it totally useless.
Where somehow you lose to Bathurst, but you move up three spots.
Dude, like I said, it's because they beat the seventh-ranked team last week back-to-back nights, right?
Yeah, that's the only way. But lost to the last-ranked team in the Canadian Hockey League.
No, I get that. I don't know why they do. Nobody knows why they do. They just
if
flip
anything,
coins.
you stay where you're at. You stay in six.
Maybe move up to five.
Not even. You stay at six or you drop back. You don't move up three spots in the Canadian Hockey League. Doesn't make sense.
No.
But that's why I don't like the CHL top 10 rankings, because they are so bad.
You think there's a team in the country that likes them?
And probably. The team that we cheer for. So next week, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Boucher, your favorite co-host, is going to have his CHL top 10 rankings.
Oh.
Not these made-up jokes. So get excited for that.
That should be fun. And then, Friday we've got Gatineau. A little bit different last time. You know, A, there'll be more people in the rink, but... they could be 6-0-1 by the time, because they play Bathurst tomorrow night while we're playing Charlottetown. So, and that included back-to-back wins over Rimouski. So this is not going to be a take-easy game in between two very tough Islander games.
Hope not.
Yeah.
No, you learned your lesson, right?
Hopefully they learned their lesson.
It's time to get your arse moving for 60 minutes. Don't take any team lightly.
We'll have LaRue back, right? He wasn't back on Sunday, right?
Yes, he's back.
He'll be back, yeah.
Yes, he is here. So that will be a big big addition because, when we played in Gatineau, he had quite a game.
Yes, he did.
Don't know if it's motivated to play against them or not, but we'll see. It's going to be good to have him back in the lineup. Pretty sure Sam Dow will still be out hurt. And sources tell me that Isaac Wilson will be in the Wildcats lineup tomorrow night or Thursday night, whenever it is.
Only because DeRozier is playing for the Flyers?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I didn't even see what happened to Dow.
A lot of, Bathurst fans will say it was incidental contact. Moncton fans will say it was a dirty hit.
Oh, okay.
One of those things. Literally, I can't even describe the play, but it was looked like a bit of an elbow to me, but he did get five in a game, which was perfectly fine. I didn't think it was suspendable, so he didn't get suspended.
As bad as the Stewart hit from the very first game against St. John?
Yeah.
Or was it a little bit more incidental than that?
I can't remember that one. But no, this one, this to me, it was, it looked like an accidentally on purpose elbow.
Oh, okay.
And I think the league saw it as that as well. So that's why there was no suspension. But, you know, in the referee's case, you know, like it's the game's fast.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why it was a vibe in a game. And, like, that was the turning point in the game in Bathurst. Right. They couldn't score in the five minute.
Again?
They could not score on the 5 minute power play. And Bathurst, I think, had more shots shorthanded than Moncton had shots on the power play. That was the turning point.
And that was the turning point earlier in St. John when they got the five minute. Yeah. And then St. John scored right after the power play. Like
that was it. Like they didn't score on it, and then they just that's when it seemed to go downhill because they were starting to get it going, and just couldn't figure it out. So it's whatever. We'll move past that.
Yeah, we're on to Charlottetown now. Three games, 6 points. I will take, I'll say 4 out of 6.
I was going to go with that, but
I'll say they get the 2 at home and they lose the 1 on Sunday.
Okay. I was going to go with 4, but I'm feeling extra generous this week. So we'll go with 5. Yeah, I like 5 points. 5 out of 6 is good. I think that will... I think that extra day off on Saturdays is going to be good for them.
Right.
And, we'll go to Charlottetown Sunday and see if we can, you know, bring home a win. But, well, you know, who cares? It's hockey. Podcast.
All right. Fans know it. They love it.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
Here we go. This should be a no-brainer. So this, you know, the stick tap of this week will go up to everyone and anyone who, you know, made an appearance at Brent's fundraiser last Saturday night. Fantastic time.
Yeah.
Some great prizes. The wife won a large pizza and Caesar salad and 2 liter pop.
From which wonderful venue in Moncton, New Brunswick did she win that one?
Well, I thought it was Moncton. Turns out it's in Rexton, but an hour away. So we'll find a way to make a trip up to Rexton for any particular reason.
Yeah. Other than pizza.
Obviously the highlight of the night, not my singing, but the live auction for the homemade carrot cake.
Really?
I don't know if you heard this. Did you hear the story?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't hear. Sadly, I wasn't. I was back in Alberta, so I didn't.
Somebody
get any of
showed
it.
Up. I'm not sure who it was, but a homemade carrot cake, and there was a live auction for it. Guess how much it went for?
$250.
Okay, lower.
Okay, like $100.
Higher.
$130.
Higher.
$180.
$140.
Really?
Yeah, $140 for a carrot cake. Which I was like, Chris Dobson was like, yeah, man, $20, let's go. And then it's like $40, $60, $80. Dobson, I'm out.
I wouldn't give a nickel for that, but.
It's carrot cake, first of all.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Gross.
I think it was Anderson McDonald's dad that won the bid. and then he goes around and basically don't, and what did he do? He turns around and sells he pays $120 or something like $120 for the cake. And then sells the cake to a guy at another table for $20, and then basically ends up being $140 for this cake. Amazing!
That's awesome.
I was like, "Ooh, carrot cake! Yeah, $10 right here." Yeah, nope. it was a great time. Had Jeremy McKenna, Jacob Hudson showed up to represent the Wildcats. Courtney Hughes was there as well. Bernie the bus driver was there. So
saw him singing.
He did, yeah.
Bernie
did some, strumming some guitar and did a great job singing. And it was just great to see, to have, some representation from the organization there, which was really awesome to see. And huge success. You know, over $10,000 was raised. So shout out to anybody who, had any part of that amount, you know, that's going to go a long way, you know, to helping out the DeBorns. And you know, I'd love to, you know, if there's another one out there that's in the, you know, that's being planned, I'd love to bring my voice back to the stage. Maybe a little more prepared this time. You know, I'll even play guitar, even though I don't play guitar, which would make it even more funnier. And maybe I'll even write an original song too. Well, ooh, you know, I'll put some lyrics together. So the challenge is out there to put together another fundraiser. And, you know, I'll, as soon as it's, you know, announced, I'll do my best to write an original song. Maybe about Brent. We'll see if it's probably could put something together. But I had some positive reviews of my singing. Clearly, they were all joking. but it was great to...
I saw you do two songs.
I did do two songs. Yeah, I did call an audible. I said on the show that I was going to do Simply the Best by Tina Turner.
There?
I just couldn't reach the high notes.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's Shania Twain. Like, everybody knows Shania.
Yeah.
So I wanted the audience at our interaction, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, first of all, I need to embarrass myself to the most.
Yeah.
And singing Man, I Feel Like a Woman just, you know, it puts it over, yeah, you know, yeah. It does the trick. Yeah. So everybody knows that song. And then, of course, my second song, thanks to Anderson McDonald's father, Barbie Girl by Aqua.
See, I saw that video first.
Which
was,
to me,
different.
I never read the lyrics until I read. I'm up there and I'm reading the lyrics off my phone. It's something about get on my knees and tell me whatever. I'm like, holy job. I didn't know that. I didn't know the song was so appropriate.
So you like went back to back. You didn't get a minute to
read
the lyrics.
No, I went back to back. I had no idea there was going to be a second song.
No, I thought Chris paid for it because he had messaged the group and said, you know, if I pay, do I get to pick the song? And I'm like, sure.
I was absolutely. I was thrown off, but you know what? It's
so that's what Pat McNeil's $100 went to that we talked about a little
yes,
earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw the video. He donated it while the Eagles were here a couple weeks ago.
So I had a great time. I would love to do it again if the opportunity was there. You know, if somebody from the Wildcats heard me singing, you know, I'd love to do Old Canada. No, just kidding. wouldn't do that. Charlie Owens does a great job.
Yeah, he does.
And it's just not, you know what, I kind of overcame my fear. I've never sang before. You know, I usually have stage fright.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a couple of those drinks got into me and, you know, took my wife out for her birthday dinner before, so I had a little more to drink. So I had some liquid courage, as I
there
like to
it
call
is.
It. So,
that's perfect.
That helped me out a lot. If there's another fundraiser, I'll get my wife to drive so I can drink a little more and maybe do a few songs. So we'll start with that. We'll get another fundraiser going, hopefully. And if that's the case, we'll see you back at the on stage doing an original song written by yours truly.
Yeah, the names for that were Nicole Solomon, Tanya Stewart, and Christine Ouellette that put that thing on. I'm very jealous that I wasn't able to be there, but it looked like you had a ton of fun, and your singing is so much better than it was the first time.
So if there is another fundraiser, yep. I would like to challenge you, Adam.
The same thing.
We'll do a duet. So
all right,
we'll put it out there
yeah.
where if there is another fundraiser, but we'll make it $500.
I like it.
So if there is a Brent DeBorn fundraiser 2.0, Adam and myself will sing Picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow if there is a $500 donation.
Yeah, absolutely. That is perfect.
I put my picture, sat down and cried in the day.
Well, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Give it away, get away, get away now.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with Century 21. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton and surrounding area, make sure to check out his Facebook page or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to make me sing, but, you know, Liquid Courage will make it happen, so... I like your challenge. So the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. It's more of a 2 week Cat of the Week since we didn't have a show last week. But it's Mika Sear. He's been on fire these past four games. He's got 7 points in four games.
And he's been exactly what we were hoping for and as advertised coming back from Flyers camp. He's been pretty dominant in the faceoff so far this year. So he's the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. And that will do it for the show. Again, thank you for downloading, listening. It was good to be back on the mic. Literally got off the plane, into Jeremy's car, and into the studio to do this show. Guys, we're halfway through November, which means we're halfway through Movember. If you want to donate to this wonderful cause on behalf of this show, just go to Movember.com and search Moncton Wildcast. Don't forget, it's ladies' night tomorrow night versus the Islanders. $12 tickets, $6 wine. Use the code WILD LADIES.
I accidentally shaved off my mustache. so I am trying to grow it again. I had it about, it was looking good. And then it's kind of like a force of habit where I was shaving my face and I did the mustache part. So I'm kind of I'm trying to, you know, rebuild it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to, you know, have it, you know,
looking all right
rebuilt
by
next week. So I apologize. It's not, it would pretty much be full grown right now, but so I'm backed into a bit of a hole, but I got it sorted out.
Perfect. See you next week.